Parshas Noach begins, Ela Todos Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach Ish Tzadik, Noach was a righteous person. Tamim Haya B'Doratav, he was perfect, he was whole in his generation. Et Elokim Italech Noach, with Hashem, with God, Noach walked. On this pasuk, Rashi brings a very famous commentary found in source number 1. What does the Torah mean to tell us by adding the word Bedorotav in his generation? There are different interpretations of the phrase in his generation. Some sages maintain that it is in his praise. Noah was righteous even in his corrupt generation. How much more righteous would he be, would he have been had he lived in a truly righteous generation, if he had the companionship and inspiration of Abraham? According to others, however, it is critical of him. Only in his generation, by comparison with his extremely wicked contemporaries, did Noah stand out as a righteous man. But had he lived in the time of Abraham, he would have been insignificant. If we take a look at the Hebrew language of this Rashi, which is a very famous Rashi, Rashi presents the two options. The first option, which is L'shevach, the praise, Yesh mirabotenu darshimo tol l'shevach. There are those among our rabbis who understand him for praise. And then, when it brings the counter-argument, it says, V'yesh darshimo tol l'gnai. And there are those who understand him for the negative. But it doesn't say, as Rashi usually would say, V'yesh mirabotenu. And there are from our rabbis. And we have to understand why in the first phrase it says Yesh Mirabotenu, but the second phrase V'yesh Dorshim, just there are those who explicate. And the second question we need to have, as B'yam Derech asked, he says, do these two opinions have Nevuah? Do they have prophecy? Do they know that if he was in the times of Abraham, he would have been even greater? Or had he been in the times of Abraham, he would have been less? I mean, a person has Bechira, a person has free choice. How do they know what would have happened in the future? I mean, it's a very nice supposition, but do we really know for sure? Third question. Halo pshat mashmot ha-psukim ba'im l'saperkan b'shvachol shel Noach. V'lamim kein shelo nizrusheu l'shevach. If you take a look at the context of the psukim, it's clearly the pasuk is relating the shevach, the praise of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, he was righteous, he was tamim, he was whole. Why then is the opinion coming and going out of its way to say, hold on a second, yes, he may have been righteous and whole, but don't think he was really righteous. It was only in his generation it's coming to limit. If we can understand Bedorotav in his generation, L'shevach, for praise, how much more so in another generation, why not learn it that way? What's forcing Chazal to bring an opinion that was L'gnai for the negative? And our final question is, not only do they bring it into a negative, listen to the language of Rashi. Rashi says, the Ilu Haya B'Dorosh El Abraham, had he been in the generation of Abraham, Lo Haya Nechshav L'Klum, he would have been worth Klum, nothing. So this is very, very troubling Rashi. It's Rashi we're all familiar with. I think part of our challenge in learning Chumash, it's a challenge of Chovos Levavos, note, is that we come into Chumash with so much pre-understanding and knowledge that we've learned that it's hard to look at a text completely clean and be able to see what we can glean for our lives. This Rashi is a very famous Rashi. Is Rashi coming to say, yes, how much more so in the times of Abraham he would have been greater? Or is it coming to try to limit Noah and say, no, he wasn't as great as a tzaddik as you think. Only compared to his generation he was a tzaddik. And all these questions we've raised on Rashi, why not the balance, Yesh Mirabotenu? How do we understand that they're able to foresee the future, they know what he's going to be like? Why are they coming out of their way to look for something negative when Chazal generally want to see the positive? And not only do they see the negative, our final question, Lo Nechshav L'Klu, he would have been a nothing? How do we understand this? So there are many, many interpretations of this Rashi. Just to bring a Hasidic interpretation, just to see the breadth of possibilities, so to speak, the Divrei Yisrael, source number 3, explains, he says, But the fact that it says bidorotav in his generation, and which is plural, and not bidoro, which would be singular in his generation, it means that there were chalukei deos. There were many opinions within the people of Noach's generation. There were Yeshua Rabbeinu, there were tzaddikim like Metushelach, like Chanoch, who looked at him, L'shevach, wow, Noach, you're a tremendous tzaddik. V'yeshomrin, but the rabble, the masses, what did they say? Not the Yeshua Rabbeinu, v'yeshomrin, the regular Hamonam, the regular people, they were darshining him, L'gnai, oh Noach, you're not worth anything. You are, they looked at him, begaiva babuz. They made fun of him. So that the Rashi is talking about from the perspective of the people in his generation. There were those, Mirabotenu, the righteous, who looked at him, right, who perished right before the Mabul, who died right before the Mabul. They respected him. And the rest, V'yeshomrim, the rest of the people, would mock and would make fun of Noach. Okay, that just gives you a sense of many different ways of understanding this Rashi. I'd like to take a look at two approaches. The first approach will have many different levels and layers in it, and each one will be able to give us perhaps a different view of Rashi. And then the second one will take a look at Rashi, not so much in terms of Noach, but how is this Rashi a model for our lives, and how it's teaching us something very, very important in our Avodas Hashem, in our service of Hashem. Let's analyze, we'll spend the most time on the first aspect of Rashi with God's help. Let's begin our journey with an essay from Rav Dessler in Strive for Truth on the Parashah and Parashas Noach. He says, we describe Noach as an ish tzaddik, as a righteous man. Let's define our terms. What is righteousness all about? So he notes in Source 4a, it is stated in the name of the Zohar that a person who commits a sin or fails to observe a positive commandment is considered as one who robbed the Shechina, robbed Hashem. And the explanation is as follows. Everything that we observe in our world, as we know, is a kli, an instrument given to us to use in the service of Hashem. This is why it was created. For example, the wealth of the rich man is given to him so that he, in turn, can give charity. This charity, in reality, belongs to the poor. If he fails to give it, he is thought to be robbing the poor. But not only is he thought to be robbing the poor, it's as if he's robbing Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, because this is why Hashem gave him the money. Hashem gave him the money in order to be able to use it properly. And if you're not going to be using it properly, you're stealing it from the one who really belongs to, and you're stealing it from Hashem. Similarly, in 4b, everything which is given to us by Hashem, it's not given for the purpose of gratifying physical desires, but for serving Hashem. And diverting that gift from its proper purpose leads us to limiting God's bounty. Blessing fails to come to us, because blessing means increasing our means of serving Hashem. Such are the consequences of robbery. Only by repentance can one restore the object to its rightful owner. And continues Rav Dessler by saying, this is perhaps a deeper meaning when our rabbis tell us that before an embryo is formed, it's brought up in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and asks, what shall be of this child? Strong or weak, wise or foolish, rich or poor? But the Malach does not ask righteous or unrighteous, because that is a person's bechira. Before a person is created, the instruments which he will be given, his kelim, are decided in heaven, in accordance with the tasks he'll be called upon to perform in this world. That is, in accordance with his fortune in the service of Hashem. All of his gifts, his physical and mental abilities, as well as the material means at his disposal, are given him to enable him to fulfill his fortune. In addition, say our rabbis, he's put an oath before his birth, be it tzaddik and not a rasha. That is, his task is to use all these instruments justly. Tzaddik means to be able to be fair and just. And this is what the oath is about. Before a child is born, he is given all that he will or she will need in order to fulfill their task in this world. And if we understand that the whole purpose of being in this world, it's not as the famous idea of eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow will die. That is totally not the Jewish view. We are here in order to create a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. We are here in order to sanctify Hashem's name. We are here in order to be an Eved Hashem, to be the servant of Hashem. And that is why people live for different amounts of time, because some people can create that in very few years and can be able to create a tremendous ability to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand the amount of years. We don't understand why a certain person has this and another person has that. Why does one person have a mansion and another person a small house? Why does one person have 10 kids and one person have one child? We don't understand these things. But what we do understand, and this is a fundamental axiom, as Reb Deffler is saying, based on the Gemara, that everything that a person's given is tailor-made exactly to suit their needs in order to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we need to understand. And therefore, when a person is about to be born, there's an oath that is given. Be a tzaddik and don't be a rasha. That doesn't mean be a righteous person with a long beard and the way we understand it with an accent. No. Be a tzaddik again, because will he be righteous or not is the person's choice, the person's bechira. Be a tzaddik means take everything that I am giving you. Take the whole genetic package and be able to use each and every aspect of it, lavodas Hashem. When you eat, say, I'm eating in order to be able to serve Hashem. When I sleep, in order to be able to be well rested, to serve Hashem the next day. When I work out in the gym, so I'm a healthy body and a healthy spirit, to be able to serve Hashem. Every part of us, everything we're involved in, is in order to be able to be the proper kli, the proper utensil, the proper ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why in 6, a person is called a tzaddik only if he is aware that everything in this world, that's included our eyes and what we see, our ears and what we hear, is for the service of Hashem. And if he diverts nothing from its proper purpose. And in this way, Noach was a tzaddik. Noach was a completely righteous person. Noach had reached this tremendous madrega, this tremendous level of being able to utilize his entire being for the service of Hashem. Wow, that's tremendous. So then how do I understand the end of Rashi? The V'yeshar Shimoto Lignai. There are those that look at him unfavorably. Lo nechshav l'klum. He was worth nothing. So Rashi will even, Rav Dess will even further our question. There's another medrash. The Medrash speaks about how in our pasuk, if Ela told us Noach Yisadik, Tami Mayabit Zarasavat, Elukim Yitalech Noach, Noach's name is mentioned twice. And the Medrash says in Source 7, why is the name Noach repeated? God replies, to satisfy all those who come into the world about Noach's true character, so no one should think that he was a tzaddik only in his generation. God, by this repetition, tells us that he considered him the equivalent of Abraham, just as the Torah repeats Avram's name, and similar name of Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel and Navi. So does it repeat the name of Noach in order to equate him with the Tzaddiki. Well, it seems clear that the Medrash equates Noach to Avram Avinu, even in his present state. The phrase to equate him with the Tzaddiki was also puzzling. Surely not all Tzaddikim are precisely on the same level. So on the one hand, you're telling me Noach, that he was a Tzaddik like Avram Avinu, like Yaakov Avinu, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Shmuel Navi, whose names are repeated twice. And on the other hand, you tell me, Lo ya nechshav l'klum, would have been nothing. How do we understand this? So here Rav Dessler presents to us a very interesting idea, perhaps a bit of a challenging idea, and I'd like to try to perhaps clarify what Rav Dessler means on one level, not an exclusive level. But first let's present Rav Dessler. Yes. A tzaddik is one who uses everything that they have in order to serve Hashem. The end of 9, a person is not called a tzaddik if he takes for himself even one bit of all that is given to him. On the contrary, a tzaddik returns it all to his Creator by using all of it solely for the purpose of glorifying God. He does not steal a moment or appropriate one penny of his possession for his own selfish purposes. It's a tremendous madrega indeed. And in this sense, all tzaddikim are equal. What does the Medrash mean that all the tzaddikim are equal, that have their names repeated? It means all of them have this ability to utilize everything for the service of Hashem. However, all this that we have said above defines the Madrega of a tzaddik. But a person can change his mazel. We all know, Mishana Makom, Mishana Mazel. One who changes his place changes his mazel. But we normally make this statement when a person moves to a new house or changes job, when one makes a physical change. But a person can change his place in a spiritual sense. And consequently, his physical environment and the instruments provided to him may also change correspondingly. Like Leah Imenu, who davens that she shouldn't fall into the hands of Esav. She davens so much that indeed her whole existence changes by marrying Yaakov Avinu and the children she has, etc. A person may broaden his mazel and reach levels beyond those originally given to him as his allotted portion. And you'll be able to be given a lot more kochos, a lot more kelim to serve Hashem. Originally, Avram's mazel was to be Avram, the father of the area in the Middle East, but he broadened his vistas. He became Abraham, the spiritual father of all the multitudes of humanity. He thus acquired the whole purpose of creation as his portion. Now the matter is clear. So far as completing their portion in this world is concerned, you're right, all tzaddikim are equal. If anyone did not fulfill any part of his task, he'd not be a tzaddik. After all, a tzaddik is someone who completes the whole of his allotted task. But there are levels above this. A tzaddik can add to his portion. And it's in this respect that Noach is compared unfavorably to Abraham. If Noach had lived during Abraham's time and had completely fulfilled his task, he still would not have measured up to Abraham. Because Abraham revealed the glory of Hashem in such a supreme way that his extended portion embraced the portions of all the people in the world over a period of 10 generations. However, regarding the completion of his allotted task, Noach was equal to all the other tzaddikim. Avraham Avinu expanded the picture to such an extent that Noah's sitkos was so limited in the amount that he's done. But ask, Rav Dessler, can this be called a disgrace? You mean to say, lo nechshav leklum? I mean, after all, he was a tzaddik. I understand he didn't broaden his mazel. He didn't broaden himself. But can you say he would have been a nothing? And Rav Dessler's very challenging answer is, yes, it is a disgrace in 11 for someone not to achieve more than the task which was assigned to him at his creation. We learn from here that it diminishes the honor of Hashem. If there's even a possibility that we can honor Hashem more, how can we not do it? This is what the Torah hints at in the description of Noah. It is indeed demanded of Tzaddik not only to complete his individual task, using all of his abilities, but it's also demanded a broaden his task using additional powers, which will be granted to him from heaven for this new purpose. Now, when we read a piece like this in Rav Dessler, we obviously ask ourselves the question, at least I'll ask myself this question, maybe it's not relevant to you. Hold on a second, I'm trying so hard to reach the level of a tzaddik. You now want to tell me that just to reach the level of a tzaddik is not enough. I got to reach a level of a chassid as well, of going beyond myself, expanding my mazel, having that seems above and beyond where I can be at. So, I think one way of being able to take Rav Dessler's words and to concretize it, and again, I emphasize one approach that Rav Dessler has to be understood. It's an approach that the Or Daniel quotes in the name of Lev Eliyahu of Eliyahu Lopian. And he makes that same distinction, the end of 15, at Sadi Kuzeh, Shalo Lokech, Af Nikudam Mimash Hashem Notam Lo Limshu, Show Up Purti. A Sadi is someone who doesn't take an iota for their own personal desires or personal gain, satisfaction. Zoi Madrigatsuma, Avazurak Madrigatsu Sadiq. Above that is the level of a chassid. And listen to how he defines a chassid. Avraham Avinu, Alav Shalom, limed emidat hachesed baholam. What's the midah of chesed of kindness? Hainu, which means, lo rak lasot et ritzon Hashem mashu natan lecha, not only to do what God has commanded you from what he's given you, so far like Rav Dessler, ella gam biyoter mizeh, but even beyond this, so far again like Rav Dessler. And here's how, lasot et ritzon Hashem gam mimashu natan la'achirim, la'ashpia al achirim v'la'oreram, she'achzeru la'ashem et tatov ha'gadol she'kiblu mimena. And here he defines for us, I think, in a very, very practical way of what does it mean to go beyond ourselves. If we are here to serve Hashem and to bring nachas ruach, to bring a good feeling, whatever nachas ruach means to our borei, so it means that not only do I work on making sure that I am the best I can be with everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me, but simultaneously, and I emphasize that word, I work on other people being inspired to take what they have been given and use it for Ritzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. And this is a Nekuda Shechidei Shavar Avinu. Noach Eino Nachshav Kokach Yilo Dag Shegam Acherim Yavu Et Hashem V'idnu Lo Kavod. Noach wasn't interested in others giving honor to Hashem and loving Hashem. You're right, and everything that had to do with him, he was a great tzaddik. But that's a lower level. A higher level is Sarich Lidog, Shegam Acherim Yatzur Ritzon Hashem, V'yanu Miziv HaTorah, that others should be inspired as well. He says, this is, you know what an Adam Mushlam, a complete person is? It's not enough that you go to shul, that you listen to drushas, right, that you try to do mitzvot. But you also want others to do it. B'nei Abayit, the people in your house, the Shechinim, your neighbors, your Chaverim, your friends. Any halacha, even the smallest halacha, even the smallest point. Shadame orere tzol chayrim, l'chavul v'ratzon abor yisparach. Himay l'gedol l'ma'od. V'chol achad tzarich lishtadel l'fi kochotav l'asotzo. Anytime we learn something, it's not enough that we say, ah, I learned this new halacha, let me integrate this into myself. But spread the word. Say, wow, you know, when you're standing online in the store, I'm not advocating going up to a complete stranger. But let's say you're in the kosher market and you're a chevra there, a neighbor, a friend, and you can turn to them and say, you know, I heard a great shiur this week. Here's one nekuda that inspired me. Most of us walk away with one idea that inspires us. One halacha that we learned that we never knew. We say, wow, did you ever know this? I just learned that whatever it may be. I was just teaching my kids this morning that there's a mitzvah of right cutting your nails, Erev Shabbat. But if Erev Shabbat stays Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said we don't cut our nails on Rosh Chodesh. So even if Erev Shabbat comes on Rosh Chodesh, we don't cut our nails. Okay, it's a new halacha. Wow. Share it with others, whatever it is. This is going beyond your Dalet Amos, going beyond your little box. It's not only about you, but it's about how you can inspire others, how you can affect others, how you can take that passion and enthusiasm for Hashem and ignite many souls around you. That is our responsibility. That is what is incumbent upon us. And he quotes here the Chafetz Chaim, which is a very challenging statement, but something to think about. The Chafetz Chaim said, a person can come into Shemayim and have been very careful about kashrut, about keeping the laws of kosher, and yet be held responsible for nevelos, for trefos, for non-kosher, because they had the ability to influence somebody else, and they didn't influence them. We can't just be stuck into our ark. We have to be able to look at the tent of Abraham and be able to see from all four sides. Who can we influence? Who can we encourage? And here, your Daniel ends his essay and he says, Yivchan kol adam et atzmo. Every person has to evaluate themselves and ask, are we on the level of a tzaddik? Where are we headed toward? Are we on the level of a chassid? We have to say that if my only ambition is to be a tzaddik, to perfect myself, it's limited. And he notes, he says, a person has a lot of kochos, has a lot of hidden potential, latent potential. And usually it comes out when a person is really determined to accomplish something in the materialistic world. If a person only uses that kohos and that drive in that sense, and not in the spiritual sense, there's going to be a tvia, there's going to be an accounting, because a person is going to be held responsible. Et adam tovim amasha yabef shiroto lasot v'loasa. We are held responsible on what we could have done, what we should have done, what we had the capabilities of doing, and we did not do. This is the difference between a Noach and an Avraham. And in this way, says the Vayomer Yehuda in source number 4:19, he says, V'nire pashur u'barur, it's clear. Sherabi Yochanan, who held that it was lignai, it was negative, lo kivein lignut et Noach, lignot et Noach, he's not coming to say that Noach was a bad person. Kimash hayavar, because what was, was. Ela kivein eilenu shnishtadel lavor et hatsid kor amukbelet. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, hold on a second. Don't think that Noach is a great tzaddik. This is who you should live up to. No. He comes along immediately and says, I am going to tell you. Yes, he was a tzaddik in his generation. But in other generations, Oya nechshav leklum. Because he didn't go beyond where he should have gone beyond. So often a person is satisfied with limited success and doesn't want to reach for more. What the second opinion is saying is, don't allow yourself to be stuck in mediocrity in your avodas Hashem. And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, imatem rotzim lomod mitzadik. If you want to learn about a behavior of a tzaddik from the Torah, don't make Noach your role model. Look at people who went beyond themselves, and Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, etc., who were able to expand their horizons, expand the essence to be able to go beyond who and what they were. And what's fascinating is that Noach was not only caught, and again, the imagery that comes to my mind is like in a box, where he's very focused in making sure this box is complete. You know, every part of it shaded in. But he doesn't even go out of his box, says the Sefer, to daven for his generation. And that's why, as we spoke about Chazal critique him, for not davening and calling the flood on his name. So we summarize what we've seen so far, my friends. Noach is a great tzaddik. He fulfills his potential, but he doesn't go beyond his potential. And he doesn't even daven for others. So when I look at this, I then ask myself the question, well, why doesn't Noah go beyond his little box? I mean, to daven for others, is that so difficult? Does that really take so much out of that box that you can't extend yourselves to others? What was the limitation of Noah that kept him so focused as a tzaddik with the inability to move into a chassid? And I'd like to present very briefly three approaches to why Noach was where he was at. Approach number one, 22, Rav Shua Mayam Beit HaShoiva. He says, can you imagine for 120 years making this teva and not influencing one person? He says, we see from here. Rashi says, and this is what Rashi means, the asterisk in 22, Lefidoro Hayat Tzadik, according to his generation, he was a tzadik, which means, Kimo Shishar Anshei Hadorahu Lo Hayu Nizkakim Klau Letzar Chayazula, just like his generation was so selfish and didn't think about others, likewise, Noah was influenced by his generation to only think about himself. But while his generation was so focused on pleasures for themselves, Noah was focused in on the spiritual pleasures. But Noah was influenced, Lefi Doro, according to his generation, he was a tzaddik, which means that the model of his generation affected Noah. Just like his generation was very selfish and self-oriented. Noah was also that way. They used it for robbery. They used it to, you know, fulfill their own pleasures and personal gratification. And Noah used it to be a greater tzaddik. He used it to be able to fulfill and direct who and what he was to Hashem. But in both cases, they weren't able to move outside of the box. And that is why, had he lived in the times of Avraham Avinu, says Rav Schwab, whose whole motto was to be able to call on the name of Hashem and expand outwards, he would not have been considered anything. First reason, why doesn't Noach move beyond himself? He can't. He's very influenced by the people of his time who are very focused in on themselves, and it can't go beyond that. Option number two, Shabbat Shirin Rabbi Miller. He says, Noah devoted 100 years of his life providing a graphic stimulus to repentance. Why did then the sages hold him culpable? And why indeed did he not beseech all the Almighty for the people's sake? So he says, perhaps the answer is found in the Emsukim Amicha that we say for Tashlich. And the end of this phrase is, which you swore to our forefathers, we may kedem from the days of yore. We know the Talmud Devorah, Rav Moshe Ker Rivera, has a beautiful explanation that these 13 attributes are 13 attributes that we need to learn in our relationship with Hashem. And he says, what is the attribute of Mimei Kedem from days of yore? So he knows in 24, this is the attribute with which God conducts himself towards the Jewish nation. When their merit and all their mitigating factors fail and they are unworthy, then Hashem recalls the kindness of their youth, of how they followed after Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he's able to give them a tremendous love. Likewise, that midah for us of the Talmud Devorah, which if you see a person and you can't judge them in any way positive, mimei kedem, look at them when they were little infants and little babies, blameless, and with that mindset, love them. And this is the difference between Noach and Avraham. Noach is described in 25 as an ish tamim, ish tzaddik tamim, an upright and righteous individual. The word tzaddik implies acting strictly in accordance with the letter of the law. A person in this category will not feel compassion towards one who does not legitimately deserve it. It was because of this characteristic that Noach would not pray wholeheartedly for a civilization which he felt was undeserving. Hammer unto nail with every bang, Noah tried to return the people to Hashem. And once they had elevated themselves sufficiently, then Noah would find them deserving of his prayers on their behalf. He spent 120 years toiling to present a genuine prayer on behalf of the nation. Prayer is the avodah shebalev, the service of the heart. He had to develop a real compassion, which emanated from the core of his being, to facilitate a true prayer. On behalf of these correct people, he had to first reform them, first rectify their deeds. He wasn't able to daven for them where they were at. Had they all done tshuva? Had they all been worthy? Okay, then I can daven for you. But where you are at, according to strict justice, you don't deserve to be saved. And since you don't deserve to be saved, I can't save you. This is like the model of a tzaddik, who will do what is right, what is just. Again, within those boundaries, within those lines, you're not deserving. Sorry, I'm not davening for you. Well, in contrast, Avraham Avinu was an ish chesed, and again, the imagery of the ark being closed in on all sides is a beautiful imagery of that boundaries of Noah. And Avraham Avinu, who's known for the tent open on all four sides, is a wonderful imagery of chesed, of moving beyond the bounds. That Avraham Avinu was able to implore God on behalf of stone. He searched for purity deep within the people of stone, regardless of how far back he had to probe. For this very reason, Avraham was able to beseech Hashem to have mercy upon them. He was able to recall the times when they possessed godliness, and through this recollection, have compassion and pray for them. That's the midah mekedem. That's the midah that Noach was unable, because of its tzidkus, of its righteousness, to be able to muster up in this case. Why does the Noach daven? First reason, he's influenced by his generation. Second reason, is he was only able to, he fell to daven for people who deserved it, and they didn't deserve it. The third approach, I think, is perhaps the most fascinating of the three. And that is from Rav Kalman Ber, in his Sefer Maasei Rokeim, teaches that, Yeshiva Keren B'Yavne, where he notes, he says, that you have to understand Noach within the context of his milieu, so to speak. Noach is coming at the beginning of the world, and the world is very much in flux in trying to figure out where does the individual vis-a-vis the community stand? How do we understand where an individual needs to have their own independent identity and where they need to be able to interact with others? And this, he says in 28, was Adam's problem. When Hashem says to him, Ayeka, where are you? After eating of the tree, he's basically saying, Adam, you've lost your sense of independence. You've given it up. Instead of being able to hold firm to your identity and to say, no, it is wrong to listen to Chava and to the Nachash, to eat of the tree, and I am going to hold on to that which is correct, he was easily influenced, and he lost that sense of being able to hold on to self. Cain and Hevel, the opposite extreme. They held on to self to the exclusion of everyone else. Hashomer achi anochi? Am I my brother's keeper? It's all about me, not about them. Finding that balance is very difficult. He says this is perhaps what is alluded to, that when the people used to go, the Mishnah describes in Bikurim, the people used to go up to bring the first fruit, the artisans would stop and greet these people bringing the first fruit. And in 29, they would ask how they are, and the language was, Achenu anshei makom ploni, batim l'shalom, our brothers from such and such place, you have come in peace. And he notes here this balance of Achenu, you are our brothers. There is this universal camaraderie, but you're from anshei ploni, you're from a specific place. We recognize that you have your own identity. And that's the balance that we need to have. This is a balance that's lost as well in the end of Parsha Noach in the story of the Migdal Bavel, that the people are so into the community at the expense of the individual. If a brick dropped, they would mourn. If a person died, oh, they're expendable. That's also not a proper balance. Where does the individual and the community fit in to a jive that's going to work? And with this, we can appreciate 32, Noach. Noach's inability to affect others came from his anivus, came from his humility. Our rabbis teach us that Noach said in front of Hashem, Vani kasher asu kein asiti, uma beni levenam ela shikma gmaltani tovava martali boata v'chobetchal teva. Medrash says, and Noach said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't deserve to be saved. You have found kindness in me. But really, I should perish like everybody else. Savar Noach b'nafsho she'enu tov me'anshei Dor HaMabul. He really didn't believe that he was any better than the Dor HaMabul. V'imkein nitaket atzmo medaro. And that's why he separated himself from his generation. V'yanivdal mehem kidei lishmor latzmo. He recognized that the generation was such a difficult generation that he says, all I can do is separate myself so I don't fall further into their clutches. And he quotes here the Shem Yishmuel, V'zeh atzmo haya ben Noach, shaya tzarich sadu tomcho haynu chozak paleit. That's why by Noach Hashem had to support him, because he was so weak. V'bli atzad haya chaser mitzad atzmo chozak aleit. If Hashem didn't support him, he wouldn't have been strong enough, haya b'yachol haya v'sharim l'gamob me'achshvatam harach. And he would have been influenced by the people around him. And that's why Noah had to be completely separate from his generation. Because, and that was the only way that he was going to be able to have the strength to be able to maintain his identity as is. And here, 33, Savar Noah she'en b'yichoto l'shpi al haklal v'lasor d'mochamed Hashem. Why doesn't Noah go out and work on others? He felt he was undeserving. He felt he wasn't strong enough. Im kainit bodeid l'nafsho k'dei l'shmol v'dato shalo. He says, the only thing I have strength for is to work on myself. U'mishum kach af lo yipalel al daro shesavar k'eino k'dai. And in his anivus, in his humility, he felt that he wasn't even worthy of davening for the people. And this is pshat in Rashi. V'noach atzmo darash et atzmo liknat. When it says v'yesh omrim, and there are those who say that Noach was lignai, was negative, had he been in the generation of Abraham, he would have been nothing. Who says this? It doesn't say v'yesh v'rabotenu, and it was a rabbi. It says v'yesh omrim, and those who say, who said this? Noach himself said this. Noach said, I'm a nobody. Noach said that I am only worthy of being saved in this generation, but if I was in another generation, ain't no klum, I would have been a nothing. And therefore, he doesn't daven for the other people. And Hashem calls him Araya Shtitya. Shekein haroa neman moser atzmo v'nafsho al tzano. You're a foolish leader, because a leader has to pray for and be concerned about others and not have such anivus, not have such humility. Nimsenu lemeidin kidrishat hashevach v'aknai shel norosh sharech echad lahem mishum advanuto ba'al idei gnut atzmo. Because of his humility, he came to look at himself in a negative type of way. Yes, there's a place to recognize that, you know, I may not be worthy, I may not be deserving. Noah himself is limiting his own abilities and capabilities, and therefore he is darshaning himself lignai. And this would be the third reason why doesn't Noah daven for others. He feels he wasn't worthy of davening for others. He feels that all he could possibly accomplish with Hashem's help is to fill in the box and not an inch more. It's interesting that Rabbeir goes on and points out that Avraham Avinu becomes the model of what this balance is all about. Where Avraham Avinu develops himself and then he goes out in the world and is able to bring others that the nefesh asher asu b'charan and able to influence others. But the fascinating thing about Avraham Avinu, he notes at the end of this essay, is that Avraham Avinu also knows what it means to be balanced. When Lot is with him and is a negative influence, Avraham says we need to part ways. Avraham Avinu himself realizes that yes, you have to work on yourself and you have to work on others, but you also have to do it with your eyes open. And if there's going to be a negative influence that you feel is going to stop you from moving forward, then you have to take the responsibility of separating yourself from that individual and being able to develop yourself and work with others. And in fact, he brings down that this was really the argument of Avraham Avinu and Sarah, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu sides on Sarah Imenu's side in terms of Yitzchak and Yishmael. And he quotes here the Chafetz Chaim, who says, Enkol Safek in 35, Shelu haya nitchanech Yishmael yachad et Yitzchak. Had Yishmael stayed in their house and was taught with Yitzchak, he would not have reached the level that he reached. Yishmael wouldn't have been such a para adam, because influence and your surroundings have a tremendous impact on you. Avayan ki chavrat Yishmael ita yichola l'shpia l'ral Yitzchak. But because at the same time Yishmael could have influenced Yitzchak for the bad, therefore Sari Menu said, you know what? The risk for Yitzchak is too great, and we have to separate the two. And the Chavetz Chaim here says, "V'masayavot simul abanim, lashkia chalaktanim shemekukalim lo yikalkalu et hatovim." You have to be very careful that when you have an environment of a very negative influence, that you have to be able to take away that negative influence, that it doesn't influence the positive ones in a negative way. I'd just like to add here a very, I think, important parenthesis before moving on. And that is, even when we have to separate the negative from the positive, we nonetheless see that Avraham Avinu is concerned about Lot and goes out and fights for him. We also see from the Medrash that Avraham Avinu went to check up on Yishmael to see how he was, and he was very concerned about his life as well. That even when we make these separations, we are still on some level responsible for every single person and for the growth and the spiritual development of these people. We're in a Maisa in Rabbi Kaplan Sefer. He tells the story of a certain Mashgiach who used to stand by the doorway, and any time a boy was late, he would point at his watch. So one boy, Micha, when he did this, he flipped him a dime, you know, like he was a doorman, you know, like, here's your tip. And the Mashgiach said to him, you're out by nighttime. That chutzpah, you know, is uncalled for. 20 years later, Micha meets this rabbi at a chasna, and with bitterness, he says to him, do you remember me? And the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashgiach says, yeah, I remember you. And he says, you have been in the following yeshivas and kololim in the last 20 years, and rattled off all of his chavrusos. And he looked at him astounded, like, how did you know? He said, because after I threw you out, I asked myself, why did I throw you out? Was it because what you did was wrong? Was it my honor? He said, I knew that I couldn't just throw you out without being responsible for you. And I made sure that when you had difficulty getting into yeshiva, I pushed you in. And I followed you. And when you needed a good chavrusa, I worked behind the scenes to get you a good chavrusa. Yes, I threw you out, but yes, I also took care of you these last 20 years. And I think this is such, albeit a parenthesis, such an important message from Mechanchi, that sometimes indeed and have to separate and throw out children from schools that are a bad influence. But we are nevertheless, take the model of Avraham Avinu, take the model that we are responsible for these people. And that just to throw them out and to say, you know, goodbye, good luck, we know lo aleinu some of these children fall as a result of this. They may not be the correct for this institution, but that doesn't mean that we write them off completely. Avraham Avinu had that knack to know what the right balance is between the individual and the community, and where the individual influences the community. When it comes, my friends, to us, if we just summarize this first level, Noah was a tzaddik, he was a righteous person. Noah lived in his ark, he developed himself to his fullest potential. Noah is held responsible because he didn't move beyond that to influence others. He wasn't a chassid. He didn't expand himself to include inspiring others to change others. He doesn't even daven for others, whether he's influenced by his generation, who were so self-centered, whether he felt they were undeserving on his level of sitkos, whether out of his anivus, out of his own feeling of inadequacy and his own feeling of not being worth anything, that why would his philos be listened to, whatever the reason, Noach remains in his teva, while Avraham Avinu is the model of going out, influencing others, expanding our essence, and being able to touch others. And in reality, my friends, this is our responsibility as B'nai Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Friend in his new Sefer, It's Never Too Little, It's Never Too Late, It's Never Enough, has a whole essay on Kiru, where he speaks about in 37, Abani Matem LaShem Elokecha, that we are the children of God. And we have this responsibility. Hashem says, please bring back my children. This is the mitzvah on the deepest level of Hashava Seveda. If you see your brother's object, you know, wandering in along the way to bring it back, our brother's soul is lost, to bring them back. You know, and Rabbi Fran speaks about in 38, he says, if you ever lost a child and somebody returns that child to you, like, you know, a crowd of thousands of people, how indebted you are, how pained you feel, that, you know, that panic moment, or where is that kid? Can you imagine how Kosh Baruch Hu feels every time we bring back one of his children to him? The Talmud states that if a person teaches Torah to the son of a Torah-ignorant person, Hashem grants him the ability to nullify all painful decrees. It's such a very powerful thing. And in fact, he brings down here, and this is, I think, a very charif statement, a very powerful statement, the Gemara speaks about that the world as we know it exists for 6,000 years in Source 40. The first 2,000 will be years of nothing, the next 2,000 will be years of Torah, and the final 2,000 will be Yemos Mashiach, the days of Mashiach. When did the first 2,000 years of Torah begin? So we would say the time of Shem Be'er, they started the yeshiva. And the answer of the Kesa Mishnah says no. It's the time of Avraham Avinu. Why? Because Shem Ve'ever, the asterisk in 40, taught Torah to the students who came to the yeshiva to seek the truth. But they did not venture out into the wide open world and teach Torah to the pagan masses as Avram did. The era of Torah began only when Torah became available to the masses. In our day, we have witnessed a renaissance in spreading the truth of Torah. There are organizations urging people to learn Daf Yomi, Mishnah Yomi, etc. But if we keep Torah study in the confines of our shuls and Bate Medrash, then we cannot consider our times an era of Torah study. In order to qualify for that title, we must spread Torah to the masses who are thirsting for it. We cannot just say, let me teach Torah, you know, to those who are in the Shem Be'er, the Kotlei Beis Medrash. No, we have to go out. I heard this morning from the daughter-in-law of Rav Pesach Oretz, Zatzal, who was just Nifter of Rosh Hashanah. She said that when she would be in the cab with Rav Oretz, she noted in the last few years in particular that whoever it was a taxi driver, it was a store owner, he would always share a word of Torah. He would always share some inspiration. That's what it's about. It's about going out and affecting and teaching others. So many people say, Noah's attitude, but who am I? I'm going to go out and do Kiruv? You know, I'm barely holding on myself. He says, no. He says, yes, people are afraid of the questions they're going to ask and we don't know how to answer. So either take a seminar, say you don't know, you'll look into it. Don't be so afraid. And then he says, today, too many experts in the Kiruv field will tell you that the Rebbetzin's Chelin is often a more convincing Kiruv tool than the rabbi's sermon. You may not have the answers to deep theological questions, but you can share a Shabbos or a Yontif, and there's nothing more powerful than taking part in an authentic Jewish experience. If you have a colleague, somebody at work, somebody you come in contact with who is Jewish, invite him for a Shabbos meal, invite him for a Hanukkah party, invite him for something that will give them the flavor of Yiddishkeit. Let them be open to this Yiddishkeit. And as Rabbi Uri Zohar says, your problem is that you don't recognize the full power of the Torah. The Torah sells itself. All you have to do is make it available to those who are not able to learn on their own. There's a koach of Torah in its own right. Rabbi Fran tells quite a number of stories. One I'd like to share with you, and then we'll do the second level very briefly. And I'll tell you, I'll butcher the story because my Brooklyn English doesn't exist. Story is, Rabbi Fran tells, of a Bava Rechassid in Williamsburg who's standing in Independence Savings Bank. And he sees a bookmark lying around for partners in Torah. So he picks it up and he says, this sounds interesting. You know, you can have someone to learn Torah with. Calls up the number and they pair him up with somebody in Westminster, Maryland, a suburb outside of Baltimore. So he calls this guy up and in his Brooklyn English, it's the Yiddish English, he says to him, want to be my chavusa? And the guy's like, a what? Like, you know, he speaks like, you know, English. He says, partners, study partners, partners in Torah. Oh, yeah. And the guy's thinking, like, I'm going to call him up and ask him for somebody who's, you know, can really speak English. Okay, what do you want to learn? Vavasra, Vavasia, we can learn Vavasia. Vavasia is also good. And he's like, no, I was thinking of, you know, like, you know, Avos, fathers, ethics of the fathers, Pirkei Avos, we'll learn Pirkei Avos. And the guy says, you know, like, sure, just to, he's a polite guy. And the Bava Verchassi says, next week, at this time, sure, sure, sure. And he's saying it to be polite. The end of the story is 11 years later, they're still learning together. And this fellow from Westminster, Maryland, now lives in Baltimore and is now from. Torah has the ability to go over language barriers, cultural barriers, it sells itself. Let's realize the koach of Torah. Noach stayed in his teva. Our job is to be a Bnei Avraham, to learn from Noah what it means to be a tzaddik. But the real tzaddik is to go out and to recognize that he was lo haya nechshav l'klum, if that's where you're going to end. Our job, spread Torah, share the enthusiasm, bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring even from people closer and more inspired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what our job is about. This is what we need to work on in our own lives. And the final idea, and with this will close, my friends, the final two ideas, says B'Yam Derech, he says, what Reish Lakish, who's the first opinion, looking at him positively, and Rabbi Yochanan's looking at him in a more critical way, and this is 43 through 47. They're not arguing about Noah. Of course we're not going to know what Noah is going to be in the future. How could we know? That's not what they're arguing about. What they're arguing about is if a person is in Noah's situation, if a person is in a situation of being a tzaddik, a person who is trying to be an Eved Hashem, around people who are Rishayim, and all of us in our own personal lives can understand what this may mean on our own personal level. You're trying to grow in your Avodas Hashem, and the people around you aren't in the same place that you are. How are you supposed to view yourself? So there are two ways that we can look at ourselves. 46. The Torah teaches us that we can look at ourselves according to Reish Lakish, Derech Chiyuvit, in a positive way. L'shabeach etzmo, to praise ourselves. V'lo odeid ruko b'chashi lo ayab mechitzat tzadikim hayat tzadik yoter. And we could say to ourselves, we're doing great, we're doing wonderful, and if we were around more tzaddikim and greater people who were growth-oriented as us, we would be even on a better level, and a higher level. Wow, we're great, and we could be even greater. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, no. He says, you have to look at yourself, but derek nai, l'ganota tatzmo, v'lashvir rucho, pen chalila yismach b'mat liyot rosh l'shualim. You want to say you're greater than those around you? Is that a compliment? It's like being the head of a fox. You'd rather be a tail of a lion. Say you're nothing, and if you lived in Avraham Avinu's door, you would be lo nechshav l'klum. When you're on a level of a certain level compared to the people around you, what has your response? Reish Lakish says, well, I'm great, and I could be even greater. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're nothing. Don't think you're so great, because if you think you're so great, you're going to just stay here. Realize you are nothing, you have a long way to go. And really, as Miam Derech says, it's coming from who they were. Reish Lakish, we know, was a Baal Tshuva. And Baal Tshuva very often have to build themselves up. Rabbi Yochanan is coming as we call an FFB, a from birth. You have to get a grip, get a perspective. Yes, you're great, but you can become even greater. Which of the two is the correct approach? Obviously, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. We need to have a balance of both in our lives. We need to recognize that we're great and we can become greater. And it's at times we sometimes become too full of ourselves. And we need to put ourselves in perspective and say, yes, we're great. But you know what? We're really a nobody. And we really have a long way to go. If we look at our potential and who we could be, wow, there's a long way to go. And really, both levels in conclusion, of the first level of the Ark of Noah and the second level of looking at ourselves either positive or negative, really come down to understanding in 49 through 51, Rabbi Tatz speaks about in Thinking Teenager's Guide to Life, that life is about recognizing, Bishvili Nivra Olam, for me the world is created, on the same time, Vanochi Afar V'Efer, I am nothing. We have to look at our lives always in balance. I have to look at it that what I am doing, I have to be the best at it. The Shvili Nivra Olam. I have to grow and develop and become the best I can be. But I also have to recognize that Nochi Afar Ve'efer, I'm just part of a greater system. And my job is to be the best I can be and influence this greater system. I can't live in my own little island. I can't live in my own little world. I have to live as a larger picture. I also can't look at myself, thinking of myself as an everything or as a nothing. I have to live this balance between an everything and a nothing. I am great and can be greater, and I am a nothing and I have a long way to go. And I think this is the bracha, my friends, for all of us, that we're zocha to develop ourselves to be a tzaddik, whether for our personality to raise ourselves up, for our personality to put ourselves into our correct place, and each person knows where they're at, but to develop ourselves to the best of our ability. And simultaneous with that, we go out starting now, and we spread the word, we spread the fire, we ignite others, we share, and we're a positive influence on others, that we recognize that what Torah is about, and Torah life is about, is to utilize all the opportunities we have for ourselves to come closer to Hashem, and do whatever we can to bring others close to Hashem as well.